You know, Labor Day is a strange holiday. It says labor, but we never work. Everybody seems to be off on Labor Day. It's a fun holiday. I mean, you also never get cards, Labor Day, Happy Labor Day card in the mail. And most of us can't even tell you where it came from, although I did some research where it came from. Yet we celebrate it every year. And the one thing about Labor Day is it really is not about work. It's about the fact that, you know what? The work is done, and today is a day of rest. It's very similar to Christianity. You see, we labor in our own strength, but the battle has already been won. The accomplished work was done on the cross, period. There were three words that were uttered from the cross that shook the foundations of hell and literally changed the world as we know it today. And that's when Jesus says, "It is finished." You know, it's interesting. The Temple of Moses, I'm going to get back on the subject, but the Temple of Moses was an interesting concept of Christ. You see, if you go through the Old Testament for our Jewish friends, which we have a couple of Jewish friends here, they're Messianic Jews, you see that thread through the entire Old Testament, through the New Testament. I mean, it perfectly lines up and joins together. But the Old Testament temple had, it was really a curtain that had this big white curtain surrounding this entire temple. We think of this big building. It was movable. They were in the desert. It was movable. And they had this white linen curtain that housed all of the tools or the facets of the temple, the laver and the altar and all of those things. And think about in the heat of the desert, all the sand and all the dirt, and you just see this white linen in the midst of all of that dirt. That's kind of how God is. In the midst of all of our stuff, he's right there. That white symbolized purity. Well, the gate of the temple, and you might hear the gate of the temple, and it's not metal. It was made of cloth. It was a tapestry, and it was woven. And they were given instructions of how to weave the gate of the temple with certain designs. And they chose certain colors. Blue represented the heavens, the God of creation. That's really where we talk about the sky. And it's the God of creation, the heavens. And then you had purple, which represents the majesty of God. You had gold, which represents his deity, his purity. And then throughout the whole curtain, you had red, the blood of Jesus. And that temple gate was extremely wide. It wasn't too tall, but extremely wide, saying whoever or whosoever wants to enter into the temple can enter into the temple. That's powerful. That's really what Jesus did. His arms were so wide. Whosoever can enter into the presence of God. But then once you entered in, there was offerings going on, and there was talking, and there was celebrating, and there was all kinds of things. In the distance, you would see another curtain or another gate. Now, this one wasn't quite so wide. This was a narrow gate. And it was twice as tall as it was wide. Because behind that gate, the Shekinah glory would come down. The manifest presence of God would come down once a year. They would have a sacrifice, and they would sacrifice the lamb. Once a year, they would go in, and the priest had to follow every rule, every line, every rule that was in the law. If they missed one thing, they would die in his presence. I'm so glad we're in grace, aren't you? They actually literally tied a rope around the priest's ankle, and he wore bells on his garments so that they could make sure he was still alive. If you heard the bells, ding, 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 it's a good thing. If you didn't, you're like, uh-oh, another one bites the dust. And they would have to pull him out because they couldn't enter into the presence of God if they weren't clean and holy. They would have to pull him out with that rope. Those priests must have walked a pretty straight line, don't you think? We might use some of that today. But then when Christ died on the cross, all that was done away with. You see, it's saying, whoever now, because of the blood of Jesus, I can boldly approach the throne, is what Paul says. Boldly approach the throne. I don't have to worry about all the things I've done or have not done, because the blood allows me not to labor, but to just rest in his presence. That is what Labor Day to me is. It's really understanding that Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you ever feel like serving the Lord becomes a burden, then you're doing it wrong. I'm not saying that you don't get tired. I'm not saying that we don't get weary. But if you feel like it's a labor, you're doing it wrong. You see, it's not about us. It's all about Him. That's grace. All about what He did on the cross and using that as my righteousness and not me. I get a little upset because I came from, I'm a hodgepodge. Are you guys like a hodgepodge for me? I didn't come from one religious background. I mean, I was not raised in the church. I got saved by reading a tract at 14. So I was pretty clean as far as I had no kind of preconceived ideas, but I was going to a Baptist church at that time. And I praise God for that Baptist church because I learned the word. And as a matter of fact, I was thinking about that just this morning when we were having prayer. I was thinking about the things I learned in that church, and How Great Thou Art was the song I kept hearing over and over again. That's why I ask you to play that. How many of you raised Baptists? Would you raise your hands for a second? Okay. This is really hard for you, isn't it, this church? No, not for me either. But if you haven't left that concept and that mindset, it's very hard to come in here where it seems to be chaotic, but it's not. It's really very New Testament. I like my Baptist church, but I wanted more. I mean, I'd heard about the Holy Spirit, but it was really just to lead me to Christ, and that was it. And then I started reading the scriptures, and I was the kind of person that I asked questions. So I had a question last night, which I love. Send me questions. I love questions about God. I love those are my favorite types of things to talk about, because we are so programmed from a Western mentality that it's hard sometimes to separate truth from religion. You know, and the question was really, why do we always think God is up in the heavens? Why is it that we always talk about God being up? And I said, because we are in a Western mentality. You see, David says, if I go to the depths of hell, he's there. If I go to he is omnipresent. He's not just one place. He is everywhere. That's truth. You know, he's not this distant God who's just up in the stars. He is right here, right now, in our presence. He is omnipresent. And this is understanding that he is the one that's going to make the labor easy. Because the next verse says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He tells us how. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. He's saying, take my yoke upon you. The yoke was what they would put on the oxen or the animals, and it would pull the carts behind them. And you never, ever had an ox that was really tall with an ox that was really, really small unless that ox was really the best ox around who could train the little ox. Otherwise, you had them equally yoked. What he's saying is, I know we're unequally yoked. I'm up here and you're down there, but I'm going to train you how to get closer and more like me. You see, he does it. You can't do it by works. You can't do it by works. Oh, that's what I'm feeling in my heart today. So many have just been feeling like, oh, I'm failing, and you're under condemnation, and it is not by works. It is by faith. Lest any man, Paul said, should boast. If you don't get anything today, you can't earn by labor. You earn by what he did on Calvary. Amen? The other part about labor, oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Not really. But are you pregnant? Are you pregnant by God? Has he put something inside of you? Is he birthing something inside of you? That's another labor that we can talk about. Think about it. First in labor comes the conception. When God speaks to your heart, it drops something into your spirit. This church was a part of that birth. A year before we even started this church, the Lord dropped in our heart that we were going to be doing something. We thought it was going to be in Austin, and we're planning on moving to Austin. So we left where we were at. We're like, what do you want to do? He kept us here. So through that, you see the baby develop. Men, of course, can experience childbirth. And I remember the episode of The Golden Girls years ago. It's really funny because I think it was somebody asked Dorothy, how was it to birth a child? How painful was it? She goes, okay, take the very top lip and hold it as tight as you can. He goes, okay. She goes, now pull it over your eyelids. So it's not a pleasant process. But once the baby is born, all of that tends to go away. Right? Ellen Mother's saying that's true. So you have the development of the baby, then you have the birth of the baby. Is God birthing something inside of you? John 16 says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. You see, those of you who God's dropped spiritual children or spiritual concepts into you, it can be a painful process because you want to quit often. Imagine that if you said, done, not going to do it. I know I'm 8 months, but this is not going to take place. You don't really have a choice. In the spirit, we do have a choice, and I call that spiritual abortion, where we actually can go and abort that word or that promise that God has dropped in our heart. There are people here that are called in the ministry, I know. And sometimes they just get sidetracked, and they come back around. And other times they say, you know what? I can't do it. That's not the truth. You just don't want to do it. You can do it because he's going to give you the strength to do it. Imagine all of the beautiful spiritual children that we would have if we all followed through. And I've aborted too. If we all follow through with those things that God has impregnated us with. Wow. How amazing would that be if we just didn't give up. But when it gets tough, we give up. When it gets hard, we're like, okay, God, it must not be you. And you're 5 months pregnant. You're showing. You're saying, it must not be you. You say, no. I mean, my mother was sick every day with morning sickness. Sometimes it's a painful process. But once that baby's there, you forget about all of those things. Pregnant, I call it with a purpose. Often the physical does not match the spiritual. God may be saying, okay, I want you to start this type of ministry or move into this area. And you're thinking, I'm looking at my life right now. I am the poorest I've ever been. My life is really a mess, and you're telling me now is the time you want to birth something in me? Oh, yeah. You see, God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. When I was a youth pastor, I had Sarah in my youth group, and that little girl had come from Quebec. Ed met her. She had come from Quebec and couldn't quite have the language of English. That wasn't her first language, so she was not always the sharpest or sharpest crayon, as my kids used to say. But that little girl, she just amazed me with the things that God would do through her. And I kept thinking, the foolish things of the world just confound the wise, because she's the one that was reaching all these people for God. And it was just an amazing time. Don't ever look at the natural. Look at the supernatural. I mean, think about this, folks. You think about the apostles and disciples and all. None of them made the cut. I'm preaching this message soon. It's in my heart. But James and John are on the water. They must be maybe 15 years old. We think they're grown men. Maybe 15, 16, 17. They weren't really, really old. They're fishing with their father, Zebedee. They're there fishing with him. And all of a sudden, Jesus sees them. And he says, drop your nets, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that sounds really strange to us, that they would just drop everything. But you see, it was every goal of every child to make the cut, to move into being taught by a rabbi. They had to know the Torah, the five books of the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They had to know every word, every scripture, by rote, to make the cut. And they would then, when they were 13 and had their bar mitzvah, they would actually be able to go with a rabbi and study with that rabbi. So if they didn't make the cut, they say, sorry, at 13 was great, 14 you need to go out and get a job, learn from somebody else. So they said, we'll learn from our father. And here comes Jesus on the scene. Ooh, I love it. He's on the scene. He says, you two, who the world has called losers, who has said cannot make the cut, you follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It wasn't the ones who knew everything. It wasn't the ones who had all the answers and all the ones who passed every test. It was the ones whose heart was ready for him. That's all he requires, is that heart, if you want to be pregnant. for Him. It often doesn't match your physical, what's going on in your spiritual life. It often feels like God's timing is off. God, right now? Really? I can't right now. Look at me. Oh, yeah, He can. And then often, you don't decide it. You just discover it. A lot of times, you're pregnant, and you're like, wait a minute. I'm pregnant. I mean, honestly, it wasn't planned. And you're going about your daily life, and God just keeps kind of speaking something to your heart. And you look, you say, is this what you were trying to do? You know what I'm talking about. It just happens. You're like, it wasn't this, okay, boom, dramatic effect, and all of a sudden, I'm pregnant. A lot of times you're just living your life. You wait, wait a minute. I think God's birthing something in me. So it's a powerful thing. Galatians 4 says, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. If you ever felt that, I felt that way when I look around the church. We pour into a lot of you. Pour in, pour in, pour in. And then all of a sudden, we're like, oh, it's just so painful. But we understand it's a process. We're all in a process. I don't like our Western churches because it puts the pastor here and everybody else down there. I like it to be the way God likes it. And it's just all linear. We're all in this together. We're all running a race, but it's not against the clock. It's against ourselves. And our goal is to finish the race. Amen? I'm going to ask Karen to come up in just a second, but I'm getting you ready for the worship conference to what I'm trying to do. Have you ever heard the word travail? Okay. Travail is a spiritual concept. It's from an earthly concept. It's really about giving birth, but it's a spiritual concept. Let me read what Romans 8:26 says. Now, we read Romans 8:28 in Sunday school. It says, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us. Making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans, He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. It's not about us. It's about receiving or allowing Him to pray through us. I'm going to ask Karen to come up for a second because one of the things that we're going to talk about is spiritual gifts at that conference. For you Baptists, it's going to be an enlightening time because it's a time to ask questions. I'm all about education. And understand that people come, I mean, Debbie, you're Catholic. Kathy was Catholic.
Yes, I was.
You were Catholic. This is a hard transition to come from a Catholic church to something like this. But you learn. And you know what? I wish we didn't have any labels. I wish we were just Christian. But this concept, if you understand, He wants to birth something in your heart. And it's going to be called travail. Karen's an intercessor. We call her an intercessor. Someone who really intercedes, or God kind of speaks to her in different ways about different things going on. And she's always right on when she comes and she shares something with me. I asked if she would come and share a little bit about travail.
What it means to her.
I was also raised Baptist. And we did learn a lot from the Bible. There were some things we did not learn. And that was Holy Spirit, you know, it being more than just, you know, a measure of God in your heart. Didn't really learn how the Holy Spirit kind of highlights different areas for you to go and be a part of. Did not learn much about spiritual gifts. And so coming into this church, it was very new to me. It was something I was a little bit standoffish about. And so I just took it to God. And I said, you know, I don't understand what this is. I don't understand how to use it. I don't understand what it is. But I see that it helps people, and I want it. I prayed about it. I was like, God, you know, whatever you have for me, I want, but I want it so that I can help other people. I don't want it because I want to be on a stage. I don't want it because I want attention. I love being in the back of the room. That's kind of just my personality and who I am. I still feel like I'm going back to my Baptist roots. There are a lot of the churchy words associated with this that I just don't know. So I explain it kind of in my own terms. As I was praying about this, I kept thinking about Pastor Jonathan because he taught... He taught about how to find God's will in your life, and it has been so impactful for a lot of people, and especially on my home group, and I want you to know that. One thing that he's said about it is, if you want to find God's will for your life, just look and see what God is doing around you and go and meet him there. And I thought about that because that's what intercession is. Basically, it's not something that God is physically showing you. It is something that you feel in your spirit. It's something that's highlighted in your spirit. It's that person's face that keeps coming to mind. It's that situation that keeps coming to mind, that news story that keeps coming to mind, the problem area that you see in church that keeps coming to mind. You're supposed to be a part of the solution. When I'm interceding for someone, it's usually, you know, if that person keeps coming to mind, it's just stopping and praying. If a situation or a ministry that I see is struggling, it's just stopping and praying. There are times, though, where it's a little bit more serious. And that's where we're talking about with this travail. There are times where it is just, it's so heavy on my heart, where I kind of describe it as similar to an anxiety attack. Because if you've ever had one of those, it's kind of like this crushing pain that's in your chest, where it's just your chest is tight and you can barely breathe, and you have to do something for it to be released. And that's kind of what it feels like to me sometimes, where there's just a tightening in my chest and almost a burning fire that's kind of building up. And I know that it's God speaking to me and saying, I told you to do something, and it's very important. You really need to do it. And it's the Holy Spirit prompting you and giving you a sense of urgency, whether it's to pray for someone, to go give someone a blanket, to do something about it. And so what I've learned, because I took all of these ideas about spiritual gift and I took them back to God, and I didn't want to learn from Pastor Keith. I didn't want to learn from Pastor Gina. I didn't want to learn from anyone else in the church, because I needed to know that it was real. And if I was going to learn it from someone else, I kind of felt like I would just be brainwashed and picking up what they learned. And I wouldn't be able to know and analyze for myself whether it was true or not. And so I took it to God and I was like, you teach me. And so in doing that, God kind of gave me that feeling, because I knew kind of what anxiety was. You know, I experienced that in the past, and so that's why I'm able to describe it that way. I knew that that was God speaking to me when I had those feelings. And so there were times where I would obey, and I would go do and step out and do what God has told me to do. I would go pray for somebody. I'd come up in front of the church. I would speak. There were times I would come up, you know, and do sign language or whatever. It was a great feeling, because it released, and there was a feeling of just peace and rest. And you can see kind of how God used you to bring something else forward. Then there were other times where I thought, that's just crazy. That's going to interrupt the service. I like structure and order. They're still talking. Clearly, God, I'm wrong, and I'm just going to stand right here. And the result of that is just guilt, disappointment, feeling like I disappointed a parent. Like, it's just, it comes over you. It's the opposite of peace. And so that's kind of learning those two things has helped me in my Christian walk, as far as learning to hear God's voice and how to obey him. And I think that when it comes to spiritual gifts, God's the best trainer there is. And so if you keep kind of bringing that back to him, he's going to put you in certain situations to give you the opportunity to practice and to get better and to know when to say something and when not to say something, because that's very important as well. But when it goes to, like I said, I personally just feel like a tightening of the chest, and it's almost where you don't even want to stand up straight. I pray in the spirit. There are a lot of times where you don't know what to say, and so you just have to open your mouth and say something. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit will start to pray through you, and you'll start to, sometimes I will feel the emotion that the other person feels. Maybe I didn't know anything about their situation before, but suddenly I feel sadness. And so I know kind of, it kind of directs me how to interact with that person. Or maybe I suddenly feel hopelessness. Maybe I suddenly feel lonely. There's promptings there that the Holy Spirit will give you, even if you don't really understand when you first begin. It's just taking that first step and just opening your mouth and doing something about it. When Pastor Keith asked me to talk about this, I'm thinking, I don't even use the word travail, so I don't really understand that. But I do understand what it is when the Holy Spirit is pressing something on my heart, and there's just a sudden sense of urgency, like, this is extremely important, and I want you to be a part of it. And I say that because God will do his work whether you join him or not. And that's where that disappointment comes in, because you know you've just missed out on a huge opportunity to join in God. Because if you don't say something to that person, He's going to bring the person right up beside you to do it, and you're going to witness it sometimes. And man, does that hurt. So it's just always better and to just take the step. You know, if you make a mistake, God can fix it. You know, and you'll just know for the next time. That's how we kind of grow in every area of our life. You step out, you try to follow what you think is right. You're going to fall sometimes, and that's okay, because God's just going to pick you right back up. It's like, okay, well, here's what you did wrong this time. I'm going to give you another opportunity to do it better.
Thank you. Amen. Awesome. I love her. I remember when Karen came to church, I guess it was around the winter time, because she came in and she had this knit cap on. She had all black. She always dressed in black. She had this knit cap on pulled down on her top of her head, sat in the very back row and just looked at me like, we have so many walls up when we come into church. Don't you wish God would just knock that stuff down? Let's pray that God does knock all that stuff down, all the have to look a certain way and act a certain way. We don't have to labor to get his grace. Father, I thank you that we do not have to labor to get your grace. I've just sensed such bondage on people that are coming in, and not the kind that you think. It's religious bondage where you're so trying so hard to be right, and it's just wearing you out, or it's making you just turn away from God. Father, right now, I just pray for that grace that flows from Calvary. Oh, that blood that covers from the head to toe, not just from sin that we've committed, but just for that sin of having to try to do it ourselves, or feeling like we have to do it in ourselves, or measure up to a standard that somebody else has said we have to measure a standard to. Father, let us see through your eyes. And right now, Father, I just pray for that birthing to just take place. Drop in our hearts and our spirit new ministry, not the old, not what we thought, not what we had planned, but your hearing and new ministry. New ministry. I thank you for birthing the new, Father. We thank you for the newness, and I thank you for that, Father. That conception that you conceived in us, bring it forth in your time, in the right place. And I thank you for that. Father, there are people here that you have laid your hand on, that it's time to start moving into areas in their life, and I thank you for that, that you move and clearly move with direction. The trepidation's there because you don't want to mess up, and that's okay. Move forward, because God is giving you a clarity and a vision, and I thank you for that. Father, I pray for each one here that you just begin to prepare us for the things that you're going to be doing this coming week and this weekend, that we're not living in that past. We're not what we think it's going to be, Father. Even for preconceived ideas, we just release that. And we ask you, Lord, just to give us a freshness in you.